Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Then when you find that, be ready, because we're going to turn to Philippians, which is the next book. Then we'll turn to Colossians, which is the book after that. And then we'll turn to Hebrews. We're going to have four different text verses today. So for those of you who have studied homiletics, you know that is a no-no. But I'm going to do it anyway. All right, it's a holiday, so we can. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to give thanks always. Look with me at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 6. It says there, be careful. That would be similar to be worried or full of care, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then one more, Hebrews chapter number 13. So Hebrews is a couple of books over to the right. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And it says there, this is what we just talked about, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now notice it says continually. In each of these verses that I chose as a text verse, they each speak about the fact that we are to be always giving thanks. And the Bible is replete with commands for us to be giving thanks continually, always, in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are to always give thanks. Thanksgiving is a great day to celebrate. By the way, a very important holiday. Very important holiday. One of the things that I would encourage you with, there's jokes, and my family and I, we joke about this back and forth. In our neighborhood where we live, everybody has their Christmas decorations out already. And as we drive by, I just kind of shake my head and tell my family how goofy that is and all that kind of stuff. And they don't necessarily agree with me, which don't tell anybody, but we're not always in 100% agreement on some of those opinions that I have when I'm right, okay? But here's one of the problems I have with decorating for Christmas in November, is we skip over Thanksgiving. Now, obviously, there's nothing in the Bible about that, but I want you to understand that Thanksgiving is an important holiday because we ought to be a people who give thanks. One of the problems that we have in our society is we're skipping over the holiday where we give thanks for all the blessings that we have, and we go straight into the materialism of Christmas, which is the opposite Christmas has become. And by the way, I love Christmas, don't get me wrong. But it has become the opposite of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we thank God for everything we have. In Christmas, it has become, in our Western culture, a desire for everything I don't have. You know, the Lexus commercial where, you know, your spouse gets you a Lexus for Christmas? I'm still waiting, Rebecca. Hopefully this Christmas I'll walk outside and there'll be a bow on the car, you know? It will be, but it'll be like a 1992 Lexus or something like that. But we skip over this holiday, and this is important. Because we are to be a people that are thankful. Now, let's look at the year that we're in. We're in 2020. All that has gone on. What a crazy year, huh? I mean, this is a year where you just look and just about everything went wrong in our eyes, right? Obviously, the pandemic very early on in the year and just the disastrous way that it was handled and the disastrous results that we have. And, you know, my opinion is one of the things that happened is very early on, they cried wolf. Now we're in a situation where things are serious and people are just tired of hearing wolf, wolf, wolf all the time. And we're in a situation where, man, that happened. And then the election stuff that went on, wow. The election stuff that's still going on. And whenever that's finally ironed out, what will the results be? Who's going to be mad? Well, half, at least half, no matter what the result is, right? What a year. But what I want to speak to you about here in the few moments that we have this morning is this. This is a year in which we ought to give thanks. There's a lot that we can be thankful for in this year, not just the things outside of the pandemic and outside of the election and outside of the fact that a lot of people lost their jobs and a lot, you know, outside of the fact that this happened and that happened. Not just outside of that, I'm talking about even in those things. There's much that we have to be thankful for, and I want to share with you seven things that as I meditated on it and thought about these things, God reminded me that these are things that I can be thankful for because of 2020. So the way I titled the message is 2020, the year to give thanks. Let's pray and we'll get into the message here. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word with your people. Lord, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for this year. Thank you for allowing us to go through the troubles that we've seen this year. Lord, we don't like what we've seen. We don't like the pandemic and the restrictions and the loss of jobs and the loss of even being able to have funerals for loved ones. And Lord, we don't like the election season that we went through, and we don't like the way things ended with question marks. And Lord, we don't like any of that. But we know that you work all things together for our good. And so by faith, we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips giving praise to your name. Thank you for this year and everything that you've done, even the things that we perceive as negative. Thank you for what you've done. By faith, we agree with your word that you're right, and each of these things is what we need. Now, Lord, please help me to be a blessing in this message. More than that, let your word feed your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I'm thankful for, that we ought to give thanks for in 2020, is the fact that we have been safe. God has given us safety in this year. Now, I realize not everybody that we know has been safe. We've seen some things where people have gotten pretty sick. We've seen some things where people that we know and perhaps even love have gone on into eternity because of what we've seen. But as a general rule, especially in our church, God has kept us safe. We've talked about that. And again, God may choose that tomorrow something happens. But as of right now, God has allowed that, in my mind, miraculously, our church has been spared. And I'm thankful for that. And again, I realize there have been some who have been sick, but we have not had what other churches and other people and, you know, businesses and all the rest have seen. God's been good, and I'm thankful for that. Let me show you some Bible verses. Psalm 20, and I'm going to look at quite a few, so if you're able to follow with me, do so. If not, then just listen. I'm fine with that this morning because we don't have a lot of time, and I need to get you through this quickly. But Psalm 20 and verse 7, notice what the Word of God says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The writer of that psalm here, David, is basically saying that obviously horses and chariots are methods of warfare, and some are trusting in their might in the realm of warfare to give them safety, but our trust is in the name of God. And we can apply that to what we see here, that, you know, some people trust in the perfect sanitary methods. Some trust in the perfect, you know, PPE, but we'll trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's wise. That's good. That's the way we ought to be. By the way, we should use sanitary methods. We should be wise with, you know, PPE and stuff like that. We should be careful, and we should be wise about how we treat our immune systems, et cetera, et cetera. But really, eventually, it all boils down to God and His protection of us. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 17. Psalm 33 and verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. But we cannot trust in the things of this flesh for our confidence. Again, we use them. God wants us to use them. It would be tempting God not to be wise in these areas. It would be tempting God to flaunt things and just say, yeah, we don't care about what's wise. We're just going to, you know, go out and, as I always joke about, right, lick doorknobs. That's not wise. That's tempting the Lord. But our trust is not in what we do. Our trust is in the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse 31 is another verse. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We should prepare and be wise and be careful, but remember, always remember, friends, that our safety is in God's hands. So if we've been safe, which we have, let's stop looking at what we've done and say, well, we're just better at this than other people. That's wrong. The reason we're safe is God has kept us safe. And God, I thank you in 2020 that you've kept us safe. Thank you for that. Here's the second thing that I'm thankful for in this day. I'm thankful in 2020 for the salvation that God has given us. And I know that is something that was a cliche with us, right? Especially around Thanksgiving when everybody says, well, we, you know, give thanks for something around the table before we dive into that overcooked turkey. And everybody says, well, I'm thankful for salvation. Nothing wrong with that, but let's not let it be a cliche. Let's remember that we have much to be thankful for about our salvation. Let's be thankful for the fact that here's something about our salvation that I would point out to you. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. God is not angry with me. And that's a miracle. Because I deserve for God to be angry at me. And yet because of Jesus Christ, what we commemorated here is death, burial, and resurrection, I have peace with God. I am justified. I'm declared righteous. And God says, you are no longer an enemy. Now you are my son. I have peace with God. I'm thankful for that. I hope you're thankful for the fact that you have peace with God if you've been born again. What a great blessing it is. I don't fear death. Now, listen, I don't want to die. I kind of like living. Breathing is, you know, is something that I've become accustomed to, and I kind of like it. But I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid sometimes of the process. But I know that once the process is done, I'm with the Lord. I have peace with Him. What a blessing that is. I'm thankful for salvation. Here's a third thing that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the hope of Christ's coming kingdom. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. I'm thankful for the hope of Christ's coming kingdom. Now, this is one of those things that with the political mess that we've seen in our country, and by the way, I really do think all that we've seen in our country recently is God's handiwork, friends. It is God's handiwork. Let me say that again. What we've seen happen is God. God has done all of this. God's hands are on it. Remember that when you're watching news organizations and they're complaining about this thing or that thing or they're bringing up this theory or that theory. Listen, God is involved. And God's trying to show us that we cannot put our trust in our country. We cannot put our trust in our way of life that we've always had. Our eyes have got to get back on the Lord. And I can't emphasize that enough, that we have a job to do. That this country is not our country. That we live for a heavenly kingdom. And in the meantime, we're ambassadors here. And we need to do our job while we're here. Because there's coming a day when we will be called back, just like an ambassador sometimes is called back to his home country. There's coming a time when you will be called back and you'll give an account to your leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, your king. And he'll say, were you a good ambassador? Did you do what I gave you to do? And what a shame it will be if we say, no, I was too wrapped up in the events of the country I was in. And I wasted my time worrying about those things and complaining about those things and trying to get those things to be fixed. And I didn't do the job you gave me to do. Look at Isaiah 11. I'm looking forward to the coming kingdom. Verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding. This is talking about Jesus. In the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, shall he slay the wicked, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. I'm going to stop there. I would encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. But you know what you'll find in there is there's coming a kingdom when Jesus comes and rules and reigns, when everything will be right. And friends, that kingdom is a reality, and it is on its way. And I'm thankful for that, because as I read the news or listen to the news or hear this thing or hear that thing, sometimes it's not even news. Sometimes it's just happenings that I hear going on in Christianity. Sometimes even happenings that I hear with people who maybe I know real well. And they're not doing right, or they're mistreating that person, or they're doing something that's just, you think that's wrong. How can you do that and call yourself a Christian? Or maybe it is a political thing, or maybe it's a thing that goes on here in the city of Madison. A lot of things can frustrate you when you pay attention to Madison things. But I remind myself often, or I should say the Holy Spirit reminds me, there's coming a kingdom wherein Jesus will set everything right. Listen, he will judge. He will judge. That's why, by the way, you had better treat your neighbor right. If you have anything against somebody in this church or somebody else outside of this church, you've got something against them, there's a beef that you have with them, you'd better get that right. Because Jesus is coming soon. The judge standeth at the door, and he'll judge righteously. And he'll set everybody straight. So if you've been harmed, if someone's done you wrong, or maybe you just look around and you say, all the injustice in this world, how in the world can we get by? Just remember, there's a coming kingdom. And be thankful for that in 2020. Number four of things that I give thanks for in this year is I'm thankful for Christ's continued presence. His continued presence. He's with me every single day. I don't have time to turn to this passage, but Psalm 37, verses 23 to 28 are the verses I wrote down where the Lord Jesus will be with us in everything. And I'm thankful for that. Even in this year, there have been some days in this year, and I'm sure it has been the same for you as it has been for me, where I've woken up after a night's sleep and there's just a feeling of foreboding about the day. And there's no reason. I don't dread anything. There's nothing I have to do that I'm scared about or again, that I dread doing. But there's this, I just get a sense that it's a spiritual pressure that I believe has picked up in the year that we're in. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, one of the things that has done for me is it's drawn me closer to the Lord. Because I don't know where else to go. I have to run to the Lord. Because it's a terrible feeling. And if I were not careful about it, if I didn't run to the Lord, it could lead to depression, which it does with some people. But I cling to the Lord, and He gives me joy and peace. And as I read His Word, He encourages me. As I sense His presence, I actually come out stronger, and I'm ready to serve Him. Let me encourage you to do the same. But I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. Number five, I'm thankful that God has in this year given me, and I believe many of you, a renewed zeal to redeem the time. Look with me at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. I believe there is a renewed zeal to redeem the time. Redeem means to buy back. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 14. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means looking all around carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, if I'm not intentional with my time will be wasted. I have to intentionally buy back my time and buy it for the Lord. If I'm not intentional about using my time for God, I'll fritter away my life. Christian, let me ask you, are you frittering away your life? Is your life consumed with little mundane things that are not important? Now, don't get me wrong. Just because the things that you do are mundane doesn't mean they're unimportant. Mothers, the mundane tasks of caring for your children are important. You're investing in God's work in the future. And as long as you're training those children to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, those mundane things you do day after day and moment after moment are God's work. And you need to know that and understand that. So never let Satan tell you that because it's mundane, it's unimportant. But sometimes, and especially in the days of digital media, we fritter away the moments when we should be redeeming the time. And I believe that in 2020, many Christians have awakened to the truth that there's a short amount of time left. I need to get busy. There are things that need to be done. There are people who need to hear the gospel. There is Christian work that needs to go forward. And I may not be here very much longer. We as a church may not be here very much longer. The rapture may happen very, very soon. We need to be prepared and looking for that blessed hope. There's a renewed zeal to redeem the time. Let me give you the sixth thing. And that is, I'm thankful that God has given me reminders of my need for the Lord. I touched on this earlier, but reminders of my need for the Lord. Look with me at Luke. Look with me, if you would, at Luke 22. We were there earlier. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. This is right at the end of what we just commemorated, the Last Supper. And Jesus turns to Peter in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice verse 33. And he, Peter, that's Simon Peter, said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter thought he was ready to stand. Jesus said, you have no idea how weak you really are. 2020, I believe, has shown us how weak we really are. 2020 has shown churches all across the nation, and I would even say ours, how weak we really are. How quickly and easily we turn from the things of God when some little bump in the road comes along. How much our spiritual lives, very quickly we just turn to the world. We're doing less. We have less zeal in some cases than we used to have. And all it took was a little virus, and we changed. Now, I don't say that to condemn me or to condemn you. I just say, you know what? We're just like Peter. And perhaps before 2020, we thought we were pretty strong. And the Lord showed us, you know what? You're not as strong as you think. You need to get close to me. Just like Peter should have done. Remember that night Jesus said to him, pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. That's what Peter should have done. That's what we need to do. We need to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. One more thing. I'm thankful for a deeper appreciation of the church. I'm thankful for a deeper appreciation of the church. This year has shown us the importance of what we do right here. That this is important. We need one another. In those days and weeks when we were not able to meet like this, I hope and I trust you missed this. I know I did. I remember the first service where we were able to actually have 25% capacity in the auditorium. What a blessing it was to have more people than just always Dexter's face. You know, that. Just ask Julie. That gets old after a while. But he's got a mask, so that helps. All joking aside, I appreciate him and the many hours that he put in to help things go well during that time especially. He's been a blessing to me. I love him and appreciate him. But all joking aside, it was a blessing, and it still is. And this has shown us what a blessing it is to have church. Now remember what Jesus said. We won't turn there again, but it was in Luke 22. Remember that before the Passover, he said, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I think we can say that about a service like this. With desire, I've desired to be there again. I know that many that wish they could be here and cannot be here are saying that. Some watching right now via live stream. I know Rhonda is one of those. Desiring. Pat Kale, one of those, I believe, desiring. I wish I could be there. Many others as well. Friends, we need to be thankful in this year for all that God has given us. Let's give Him thanks. One verse that I'll share with you, Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We ought to give thanks that we've been afflicted in this year. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Brother Adrian to come and lead us in our final hymn. We're going to just sing two verses of number 10, Near the Cross. Just two verses of that. And then we'll dismiss after that. And I want to encourage you to give thanks this year for all that God has given you. Number 10, Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in two verses of that. And then when he is done with that, I'll close.